Shabbat Shalom. We're at the end of the Torah, almost. Moses is standing up and giving his final speeches. And he says to the Jewish people, I know that you're gonna mess up. I know you. I spent 40 years in this gosh darn wilderness with you. And I know that the second you get the chance, you're gonna turn to idol worship and you're gonna sin and you're gonna break all the rules. And I want you to know when you do that, bad things are gonna happen. There's gonna be pestilence, there's gonna be sword, there'll be wars, there'll be famine, bad things will happen. And he says something else. He says that God will hide God's countenance. That the ultimate punishment, the worst thing that can happen to us, is that God hides from us. Now the Torah understands that literally, that hiding means that we will experience those terrible things, famine, plague, sword, the whole thing. But I think it is also reminding us of a little bit more figurative understanding. For God to hide God's face, remember, God created everything. The Kabbalah even understands. The Kabbalists look at the world and say every person, every object, inanimate or animate, has a divine spark hidden inside of it. And when they're used for their true purpose, the divine spark comes out. For God to hide God's self, that means that we can't find that spark. That means that we can't find connection or meaning. This is not the kind of God who is the judge on high. This is the God who is the source of all meaning. This is the kind of God that we name when we feel connected to something greater. And our punishment, when we don't live up to the person we could be, is Hester Panim. God hides God's face. And to read this just a few days before Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, we're going to beat our chest and say, Al Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha. On the sin that we sinned, Lefanecha. Usually, we translate that to before you. God, this sin that we sinned before you, please forgive us. But if you take that word very literally, and break it up into its parts, le, fan, and then cha, we get on this sin that we sinned to your face. And at that moment, I can't help but think at the very beginning of the Torah, where God says, I created you in my image. When we say on Yom Kippur about the sin that we sinned to your face, what we mean is, when we were less than, we lessened your face in the world. We hid it, because in us is the image of you, and when we were less than, we took you out of the world. We removed meaning. We removed holiness. We removed divinity. And when we say those words, we hit our chest. Now I have to confess, as a teenager, as I learned about these customs, there was a friend, and we used to sort of eye each other at this part and see who would hit ourselves harder. Which became rather dramatic at the end of Yom Kippur when we had not been eating at all. But I think we actually missed the point, or maybe we got it for 16-year-old selves, but older selves, we missed it. Because I don't think that this is like all of those traditions that say, when you've done wrong, you have to afflict yourselves. I don't think that's what we're doing. I think that moment is taking ritual very seriously. Ritual, when we stand up here and we do these things, we lift the Torah, each of these things is supposed to be a ceremonial moment that reminds us of how the world could be. And so we hit our chest, not to increase our pain, but as a reminder, our job is to take the words of the Torah, the mission of God, and make it physical. We hit the very source of our life to remind us that it is with our life that our job in this world is to uncover holiness, to find divinity, to seek God. We look up at the Ten Commandments, and one of them is that we should not have a graven image. And it wasn't until I started studying this that I think I finally really understood why. Because the truth is, if you go into a church and you see the graven images everywhere, it's not, they don't call it graven images. I'm not saying that they're, leave that aside. They get a lot of meaning out of looking at those images. It draws their attention. It's a great tool. Any teacher will tell you that if you want your message to be heard, you should say it and you should write it. You should make it visual. So why don't we have it? Because it would distract us from the ultimate truth. That a graven image is where we would all focus, where the truth is the image of God is all around us. All you have to do is look at each other. Look at your children, your friends, your family, the stranger. Look in the mirror. And then remember that Yom Kippur is a time to say, Chatati lefanecha. I sinned to this face. I was less than, but I can be more. So this Shabbat Shuvah, I wish us the chance to imagine and dream what could be, and to look in the mirror and see the image of God, see the possibility, see what could be. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.